It's an honor to be here. It really is. I honor and respect Pastor Ken, Sister Kay, and everything that they have been to me in my life. I just really, really honor them. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just pray right now. As I speak, you anoint my tongue and my mouth to speak your words. That do not be my words, but your words, O God. Open our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and our lives to apply what you have for us this afternoon, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And it is afternoon. It's after 12. In Mexico, they're very strict on that. They're very, very strict. I mean, as soon as it's good morning up to 11:59, if you say good morning at 12, they'll say it's afternoon. It's afternoon. That's one of the things they're very, very strict on that. I want to talk today about being transformed. I'll tell a little bit about the work in this during the message, but being transformed. I like to call this my butterfly message. So let's go to Romans 12. Verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the word which we're going to be seeing most in this message today is transformed. Some versions will say be changed. That's why we have to be careful a little bit about what versions of the Bible we read. I read the Bible in many versions several times a year. And so I love some versions, and some versions, I've actually had some versions that just closed up and said, I'm not reading any more of this one. But some of them say changed instead of transformed. And we have to be careful that we don't oversimplify the gospel. Because when you oversimplify the gospel, you take meaning out of the gospel. And a change and a transformation are two different things. And we must remember that. So anyways, Paul starts here. He said, by the mercies of God, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God. Biblically, mercy is having compassion. That is what mercy is, having compassion, being tender. Not being hard-hearted, being tender, and not be willing to cause unnecessary pain. There is pain which is necessary sometimes. Remember that. There is pain which is necessary. I had pain when I was being corrected sometimes when I was a kid. It was very necessary. I remember my grandmother, who was the second lady doctor in Canada. She became a doctor in 1916. And she talked about how the people used to take their babies when they started crawling. The houses were heated by fires. And they'll take that child and stick its hand in the fire quickly. So that it hurt a little bit. Not enough to burn it badly, just hurt, and then pull it out. And there were people who said, well, that's cruel, that's cruel. Their children, when it got cold, would crawl into the fire and burn. And so that little pain made the child remember, I'm not supposed to go there. And it kept the child safe. So when I'm talking about not causing pain, something unnecessary pain, because many times a person who doesn't have mercy tries to cause unnecessary pain. Sometimes God does things in our lives which hurt us, but it straightens us out. We must remember that. I've had people go to prison. And they've gone to prison, and God has spoken to them and changed them in prison. And you say, well, Lord, why didn't you keep them from prison? Because they wouldn't listen to him outside of prison. Yeah. That's what happens. It's the truth. And so the word mercy can be interchanged with love and compassion. God has never called us to have pity. We're not to have pity on people, because pity is based on superiority. You feel superior. You have pity on people you feel are less than you. Compassion, puts you on their level. When you have compassion with somebody, even if the person who hasn't bathed in 2 weeks and they're lying on the street, you can hug them because you have compassion. When pity will say, I may have a dollar I can spare, and they'll walk on. That's the dollar is not what they need. I can remember a Honduran couple which came to me with a little girl. They're going up to the United States, and they came by and they said, "Can you please give us some money because we're hungry?" And I took them out to eat, and I took them to a restaurant, sat them down. We started talking about their trip, and this is what they needed. They needed Jesus at that point. They had traveled. They had crossed into Mexico. They had everything had been stolen, and she had been raped twice on the way there. They had been taken by a criminal group, and that criminal group was attacked by the police. And in the shootout, they were able to escape again. And then they came further north. She was raped again by some other people, and they were trying to get to the United States. And I could have given them a dollar. I could give them a little bit of money. I asked them. I said, "Is it worth all what you've gone through to get to the United States?" They said, "It's worth this and more." Because their sight was on something which is going to fail them. It really is. Yes. And I was able to present Jesus to them. And I'd see them give their hearts to the Lord at that meal. But what they needed was a meal. They didn't need money. And so it's by God's mercies that we have not been destroyed through our own evil actions, because all of us have done wrong. There's nobody who can say, "Oh, I have a good life." I'm sorry, anybody who says they have a good life is self-righteous. They've done something really bad. Lamentations 3:22 says, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." It's by God's mercy that we are not consumed. It's by God's mercy that we are here, because he has loved us. Even though we did not deserve it, he has loved us. He's, by God's mercy, we have another opportunity, even though we don't deserve to have another opportunity. He gave us another opportunity. And the transformation which we need, it cannot come because we will it to happen. It can only come because God's mercy and grace comes upon us. God's grace is unmerited favor. Then secondly, he says we have to present ourselves. He says, present your bodies. In the Greek, the meaning for present is brought out to stand with somebody in support and identity. You take it like a political campaign. Right now, Mexico's in a political campaign. This June 2nd, we have national elections. Peter has to go back. That's why he has to go back, because of the national elections. He works for our city and county. He's over all the youth departments in the city and the county. And so he has to go back there at election time. But at election, people go on, they stand on street corners and they ground crowds around, and I promise that when I am whatever, I will do this and that and that. I wish they would do it, but I mean, they don't. But and the people will decide who they want to vote for, and then they go and stand with them. They'll go around their meetings, and they'll be with them. They'll be identified with that person. And so when it says you present your bodies before God, you're saying, "I am standing with you, and I'm identifying myself with you." Yes. Now, if that politician wins the election, then they become government, and we must submit ourselves to what they decide. And so because God rules and reigns, when I identify with him and I am in support of him, that means I will also submit myself to his government. So presenting your body is saying, "Lord, I identify with you. Lord, I support you, but Lord, I submit myself to you." Now, when we identify with the world, we're saying, "I identify and I submit myself to Satan, who is the prince of this world." I do not want to do that. So I have to present my body to God, it says, as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. A sacrifice is an offering which was made to be consumed. It's not something which was made just to sit here and whoever needs it. It's made to be consumed, to be used. And we need to be consumed by the passion for the things of God. That zeal for the things of God must consume us. In John 2:17, it says, "Then his disciples remembered, it was written, 'Zeal for your house has eaten me up, has consumed me.'" That zeal, that passion must be there. I spoke about passion yesterday. If you want to see it, you have to look at it on YouTube. I spoke about passion, Friday night. But passion is something which has to consume us. And if I am a living sacrifice, I have to be consumed by the compassion of the house of God, of the things of God. It must consume my life. It has to be something which is burning inside of me all the time. Jesus cleaned out the temple twice. Why? Because he was consumed with the zeal for the house of God. Yes. And it says, a living sacrifice. That means in this life, I've got to do it. I can't wait till the next life. Some people say, well, when I'm with Jesus, I'll be full of zeal. No, he wants you full of zeal now. He wants you to be passionate now. He wants you to give your all for him now. Too often people say, well, I'll wait till I retire. God wants you now. And when you retire too. But he's looking for you now. And then holy. Holy means to be set apart for God's exclusive use. That's what holy is. In fact, there's a version in the Bible in Spanish which says that exactly. It doesn't say holy and accepted. It says set apart for God's exclusive use. To be holy is to be set apart for God's exclusive use. Does not mean you're perfect. Too often we have the concept that holy is something which is sacred, and it can be sacred. But when I set my life apart for God's exclusive use, he calls me holy. Yes. He makes me holy. It's not my actions which make me holy. It's God who makes me holy because I have decided to have that passion and that sacrifice for him. I'm set aside for his exclusive use. Being set aside for his exclusive use is not saying, well, that means I'm going to be kneeling down and praying all day. No. I remember a lady who said, well, I've got to go and witness and close her children, 2, 4, and 5, and lock them in the house and leave them there alone all day. The police came and got them. That was not wise. Actually, she should have taken them with her. The thing is that is not being for God's exclusive use. That's putting your effort into it. God's exclusive use is that you're going to shine for Jesus in the school, in the home, in the supermarket, in your job, wherever you are, you shine for Jesus. That's for God's exclusive use. And then acceptable. We live to be accepted and to please God. That's a pleasing offering. That's an offering that says, God says, I like that. How many people have received a gift which you didn't like? You had to grin and say, thank you. But inside you're saying, who can I give this to? That's not how we give ourselves to God. We give a pleasing offering. Our life, our commitment to him is pleasing to him. Very pleasing. In 2022, in November 2022, I had to go to a mountain area in the south of Mexico. The Zapoteca Indians, it's an indigenous tribe where you need actually permission to get into their lands, into their villages. If you don't have permission, they have armed guards there and they won't let you in. And if you pay a lot of money, you can go in and take a tour around and then you leave. But I was invited there to be with them. I was there for a week. And as a thing of honor, they gave me a big tostada. Tostada is like a hard tortilla fry, and they're really good. And they gave me the most exclusive thing they could have with it. I have a picture of it. I should have give it back there. It's a tostada, and it had some vegetables on it, and it was full of worms, ants, and grasshoppers. And I tell you right now, it's really weird to get a grasshopper leg stuck between your teeth. But that was not very acceptable to me. I had to grin and bear it. We're not giving God our grasshoppers. Okay? Then it says, with your reasonable service. That means it's the only logical thing to do. That's the only logical way we should live our life. Is giving our lives as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Then it says, do not be conformed to this world. Many people live according to the principles of this world. We have brought the world many times into church. And we try to do church the world's way. We try to make the church friendly, supposedly, I could say. And we're not making it friendly. We're taking the power of the gospel out of the church. We cannot do that. It's the power of the gospel which changes us, which transforms us. We cannot be conformed to this world. Our sister church in Saltillo, when they were building the church, the pastor, God told him to go and talk to a man who had a construction company about three blocks away from where they were building. It was right on the edge of the city. And he went there, and he did not know that that man was actually the construction company, was a front for cartel type work. And he went there, and he said, God told me to tell you to come and dig the basement and dig the foundation for this. I don't have money, but God told me to come and tell you that. And the guy, with some very flowery language, told him to get lost. So he went back the next day. He said, God told me to tell you this. And the guy did the same thing. The third day, they pulled out guns and they said, if you come back, we'll kill you. The fourth day, he went there. And the guy says, you're bothering me. But I'll tell you what. I will do this if, and he put some conditions down which went against the word of God. They were not too far against the word of God, just a little bit of stretching. And he could have had a free basement and a free foundation, a free basement to build the church up from. And he told me, he said, you know, Stephen, it went through my mind. I finally got where I needed to go, but then I said, I can't compromise with the world. I cannot bring the world into the church. Yes. He said, no, I'm a Christian. We can't do that. And the guy ran him off angrily. He went back the fifth day, and the guy saw him coming and said to his guys, I'm tired of seeing this guy. Just give him everything he wanted. They didn't only just do the basement. They put up the walls for free. That church seats 1,400 people. It's not a small church. And they have three services every weekend, and God has really blessed that what is being done there. But that's because he decided not to live according to the world. James chapter 4. Sorry, I had my notes in Spanish here. It says, adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not, verse 4, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. We cannot be friends with the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So we can't compromise with the world with the things of God. I want to be very clear on that. Many times we begin to accept actions and attitudes, behaviors of the world, so that we don't look to be religious. We're not religious. God doesn't want us to be religious. He wants us to be real. Yes. To be real. And so we don't conform to this world, but we are transformed. Now, this is where I want to spend time. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, years ago, my brother Mark, who is a Greek scholar, we were talking about Romans, and he said, you know that word transformed, it's really interesting. And he told me, it's this, that. I can't even tell you what the word was. But he began to go in, and he said, what it really means, the literal translation for that word transformed in Greek, is to be metamorphosed. To be metamorphosed. And I began to think, and think of being metamorphosed. I came across a study from the University of Montreal on the monarch butterfly, which is your best example of being metamorphosed. And so I wanted to go and talk about the life of a monarch butterfly, and we're going to apply it to how God wants us to live our Christian life today. So it means metamorphosis. That's why I say, when some versions say be changed, it doesn't bring out what it is. A transformation is a metamorphosis. It's not a change. A metamorphosis changes, it changes your whole life, and it's a permanent thing. And a change is just, well, I was wearing this jacket, and Brother Pastor Ken just lent me his jacket, and that's what it is. It'll be a little bit big. He's a lot taller than I am. So the best example is the caterpillar, the monarch butterfly. Many people think that the caterpillar puts itself into the chrysalis. Now, don't say it's a cocoon. Moths are in cocoons. Butterflies are in chrysalis. Many people don't know that, and they say, what? Why do you use that word chrysalis? Because that's what a butterfly does. And then it goes in its chrysalis, it gets skinny, it grows wings, and then suddenly it's a butterfly. And that's how many people, Christians, think about transformation. They couldn't be further from the truth. They think that a transformation is only growing spiritual wings and trying to fly. But when we try to put spiritual wings on the caterpillar, we are trying to live a Christian life in the flesh. We are trying to live for Jesus without being changed. And that will always lead to failure. We work drug rehabs. One of the things we do is drug rehabs. We have three drug rehab centers, two for men and one for women. We separate them. I know it's not politically correct, but that's what you have to do, because addiction affects women differently than it affects men. You do not mix them together. And when people are started talking about their experiences, you cannot have a woman standing in front of a bunch of guys talking about her rape. That's just the honest God truth. And so I'm not trying to be crude. It's just that's life. And so we have it separated. And many people go through rehab 3, 4, 5 times. We cycle through about 300 people a year. Many people are freed. But the ones who go through several times, they're just trying to get rid of the substance addiction, but they're not changing their life. They're not being transformed. And they will always go back to substance addiction or substance abuse because they have not had a transformation, a change in their life. They try to stick wings on the caterpillar. So let's talk about the metamorphosis of the caterpillar. Now there, I used to, when I lived in Canada, I would always gather caterpillars. I lived by Stanley Park. Anybody live by Stanley Park? Okay, two or three. Okay, fine. We live by Stanley Park. I live on 75 Penrose Avenue. It was a nice life. We had a forest right beside us, and some fields which are just down the street. And I'd go in where all the milkweed was. I'd gather monarch caterpillars, and I would bring them to the house, put them in jars, and bring in milkweeds leaves, and they would be eating them until they start to form a chrysalis. Get to the point where they would form a chrysalis. And the first thing which they do is they will stick themselves to the branch. Now, one thing which I learned, which is very curious, is that if after they stick themselves to the branch, if they fall off that branch, they die. We need to be stuck to Jesus. When we separate ourselves from that true vine, we die spiritually, and many times physically too. The thing is that we need to be stuck to Jesus. We need to connect ourselves to Him. We cannot be connected to other things. We need to connect ourselves to what is the true life, which is Jesus Christ. And then it begins to get rid of its skin. It peels its skin and begins to form a chrysalis around it. You can see the process that it forms a chrysalis about it. That we need to start to take off the filth of the world which is on us. We cannot keep the filth of the world. God did not save me to keep on living the same way I lived. God saved me to change me. God saved me to transform me. And there are things which I did before which I need to stop doing. And there are things which I didn't do before which I need to start doing. Christian life is not a set of rules, but it's a set of principles which we live by. And instead of concentrating on the don'ts, we need to start concentrating on the do's, because if I start doing what I should be doing, I won't have time to do the don'ts. But it begins to get rid of the skin, and that is the things of this world. We get rid of it. But then a funny thing happens, and this is according to the study from the University of Montreal. They even said in that we do not understand the evolutionary process. They'll never understand it, because this is from creation. This is how God made them. They die. That caterpillar, once it's in that green, emerald green with that gold band around it, it dies. You say, what? How can a butterfly come out of that if it dies? I have to die to the old me. The Bible is very clear on that. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 5:24 says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. We have to die to self. We have to die to bitterness. We have to die to hatred. We have to die to sin. What the things, I'm going to go over some things we have to die to. But I can think of a person, one girl who came to the Lord years ago in our church, and she never wanted to come to the Lord. She was 12, and she was angry with God because she lived in a very abusive situation at the time she was 8. Abused in every way you can imagine. I won't even go into it. But she started coming to church through soccer. At 13, she gave her heart to the Lord. And she went back into her main abuser. She looked at her in the eye and said, no more. And she was kicked out of her house. Lived on the streets for 3 months. And by the time she was 15, she brought her whole family to the Lord. Because she was transformed, and God took the bitterness, the anger, and the hatred out of her life. So what do we have to make die in us? Well, first of all, we have to make die wrong actions. I didn't put this up there, but I did this in the first service. I've got it written down here right now, but Colossians 3:1 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek the things which are above, for Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth, for you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We have to die to self first. So what wrong actions have to die to? Colossians 3:5 says, so put to death whatever is worldly in you, sexual immorality. Many times we make excuses for wrong relationships. Yes, we make excuses for pornography. We make excuses for sexual identities which should not live in our midst, in our lives. Uncleanliness. These are actions. Uncleanliness is actions which we know are wrong before God. And we may do it secretly, because nobody's seeing me, but God sees us. Lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. That desire to get more and more and more. We see that for people who come from the south, trying to come north to immigrate to the northern countries, the United States and Canada. Greed gets them because they want to get rich. God wants us to be wealthy. But our desire is not to be wealthy. Our desire is to be more like God. And then he gives us the power to become wealthy. But our goal is not becoming wealthy. Our goal is getting more like Jesus. Yes. And greed, which is idolatry. It is because of these things that the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. What else do we have to die to? Wrong mentality. Same Colossians 3, starting with verse 8. But you too are to rid yourselves of all these: wrath, anger, malice, slander. Did you know that the Bible talks more against gossip and slander and wrong speaking than it does against drunkenness? But we say, oh, that's a Christian sin. No, that's a sin. And filthy language from your mouth. Die to it. Do not lie to each other. Honesty. Don't lie. Since you have put off the old self with its practices. For the caterpillar to change, it must die. If we want to be transformed, we have to die to self. There are things which we have in our lives which we have to die to. Because if we don't die to those things, the transformation will never happen. But something funny happens in the caterpillar. In that cocoon, in that chrysalis, there's something funny which happens. The caterpillar, my monarch caterpillar, has got a little piece of foreign DNA in it, which is inert in its whole life. Jesus, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3 that God has put eternity in the hearts of everyone. Yes. We all have a God consciousness. I don't care how much you tell me that you're an atheist. I can remember Erminio in prison. He was an atheist. He said, I've studied everything out and that there's no God in everything. And we began to talk about the things of God. And he even built an altar to the Virgin of Guadalupe, not because he believed in her, but because he wanted to get out of jail quicker. And he knew that if he did that, he'd get out of jail quicker. The day they dedicated that altar to the Virgin Guadalupe, I baptized him. Amen. And he's lived on fire for Jesus ever since. He had a God consciousness, and he didn't realize it. But that caterpillar which died in there changes its DNA. You say, what? Your DNA tells everything about you. The strands and everything. There's so much which is written in there. It's letters. And it writes every detail about us. If you were born with a... I've got a fingernail here which has got a little indentation. I've had it all my life. That's written in my DNA. That's how I was made. We are perfectly and wonderfully made. And many times we complain about how we're made. Oh, Lord, why did you make my nose like this? Why did you make... I pled with God to give me brown eyes. My eyes change from green to blue all the time. But I wanted brown eyes because I want to be more like people in Mexico. I got tired of being on the bus and people looking at me, wow. I got tired of it. I wanted brown eyes. And anyways... I can't. My DNA will not let me do it. But the caterpillar changes its DNA. It's the only creature which does it. Its DNA changes. When I die and Christ raises me up again, my spiritual DNA changes. I'm a new creation. I'm a different creature. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. What I was before does not exist now. My way of thinking has changed. I do not think like I used to think. I do not act like I used to act. I do not go to places where I used to go. I do not live the way I used to live. But my way of living has changed because I am a new creation. Yes. The old me doesn't live in me anymore. The old me used to crawl across the ground all the time. But the new me flies. Too often as Christians, we try to get on a spiritual diet, put things in our own efforts to change ourselves, and then we try to paste wings on our back and try to fly. It doesn't work that way. If we want to fly, we must die to self. First, we are a new creation, and that comes through the transformation of the renewing of our mind. Our mind is renewed by the Word of God. When we have guys who come with their minds blown on drugs, we start them memorizing the Word of God. It works every time. I start them memorizing Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Not 5 verses 6 and 7. 5, 6, and 7. And then we go to Romans 8, Romans 12. Then I go to the book of James, the book of 1 John. By the time they get to 1 John, their minds are totally renewed. Amen. I mean, totally renewed. And then if they want extra credit, they bring me Psalm 119. And yes, I've had several bring me Psalm 119. I'll give them a study Bible if they'll bring me Psalm 19 memorized. And I still have that to this day. Anybody who brings me Psalm 119 memorized perfectly, I will give them a study Bible. I want to make them work for it a little bit. But the thing is that we have to be transformed. We're this new creation. I have to die to my old life to be transformed in Christ. Jesus wants to change our lives. And too often, we battle with our flesh because we've accepted Christ, but we haven't accepted to be transformed. We have come to Jesus. We have said a prayer, and I'm all for saying a prayer. That's a good start. It's a good place to start. But we have to come to the point where we say, Lord, I will die to self. And we keep on battling with hidden sins. And we say, why hasn't God changed me? Why can't I fly? It's because I've not died to self. Now, there's one thing which the monarch butterfly carries from being a caterpillar. As I said, milkweed is very poisonous. I think it's the only creature which will eat milkweed. And the blood of a monarch butterfly is poisonous. Any bird who eats it will die. Birds won't touch it. That's why they're so colorful. That's why they're not like moths and try to hide. They will not touch it. There are many butterflies which are similar to them, but they will not poison its blood. And their way of hiding, it's kind of look like a monarch butterfly. There are many people who try to look like Christians and thinking that they're trying to imitate Christianity will be enough. But when I'm covered with the blood of Jesus Christ, Satan cannot touch me. That blood is poisonous to him. But to get that, I must die to self. I can't imitate a butterfly. I cannot imitate a monarch butterfly. I've got to be transformed. And that starts with dying to self. And many of us here have battled with things in our Christian walk. And we battle with addictions. We battle with pornography. We battle with our tongue. We battle with how we deal with anger. And we were explosive and we said, well, that's just the way I am. No, that's the way you used to be. But when you die to self, God changes that. We battle with things which we know are hurting unnecessarily people around us. We lack that mercy because we haven't died to self. We're a living sacrifice. So God's not asking to put a knife in ourselves.